Good morning and welcome to St. Nicholas Church on today, which is Trinity Sunday. And just a reminder that we are, of course, meeting in church at 9 o'clock and at 10:30. And people are welcome to any of our services. Please check out our website, saint-nicholas.church, to book in via Eventbrite. And today is the Sunday in the church calendar when we focus on God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the gospel reading for today has as its central character the Son, Jesus Christ, who speaks here of both the work of the Spirit and the love of God the Father. So I'll read now from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again." "How can anyone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus. "Do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was 18 and 19, in the year between leaving school and starting at university, I worked for 6 months as a waiter in a restaurant in France. And this was back in the days when pretty much everything was paid for by cash. Quite often as a waiter, you'd receive tips at the end of a meal. And the practice in this restaurant was to take your tip and then put it in a bowl where all the tips were shared. And then I think at the end of each month, the manager of this restaurant, which was in a hotel, would share out those tips among all the staff. And I guess the idea was that, yes, the customer, of course, is grateful having finished their meal, and they want to thank the waiter, and that's the person who's brought the food to them. But of course, there's so many other people involved in that process of preparing that meal. There are, of course, the kitchen staff, the chefs, the cooks, the patissiers, the people doing the washing up in the kitchen. There's the manager or the deputy manager, whoever's keeping the show going. Then there's the waiters, you know, on the restaurant floor. And the idea of the shared bowl was to acknowledge that there were so many other people involved in this process, not just the waiter. And for whatever reason, I was thinking about that as I thought about three words that appear in the final verse of our reading. And those three words are "save the world," in particular the word "save." And this passage and this Sunday really is an acknowledgement of everyone who's involved in that process of saving the world. Because I think, you know, many of us may be familiar with the idea of Jesus as the saviour of the world, as the one who came to save the world. But when we think about the Trinity, about the three persons of the Trinity, We're reminded as well about the work of the Spirit. We're reminded about the purpose of the Father. We're reminded that the process of saving the world is one that involves God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit, one that involves the whole Trinity. And in looking at this passage, I would like, if we can, to start at towards the end, to begin with the origin of this saving action, which I believe we find in verse 16, where we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And it all begins with the love of God. As I was praying about this Sunday, as I was praying about what to speak on this passage, I really felt God saying that he would love to remind us of his love. That the focus of Trinity Sunday is the love of God. And if we think of God as the Father, I think that word is helpful because it reminds us that he is a God of relationship. And that as we think on the Trinity, we're conscious that God has always been a God of relationship. Before the beginning of time, the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But this is also a relationship that invites each other, that invites other people in. And so this Sunday is helpful, I think, when we're tempted to think of God as a kind of cosmic policeman or a headmaster. Actually, we're brought back to that word, Father. That's a primary characteristic of God. God as a Father. God as one who loves. For God so loved the world. And that relates directly to how we are to understand Jesus. Because we're told in verse 16 that the sending of Jesus into the world was like God as a Father giving up his one and only Son. Because yes, the Trinity is a picture of God in relationship, but a relationship that is outward focused, a relationship that is self-sacrificing, a relationship that is giving, the Father giving up the Son. The language of Father and Son here gives us an idea of the incredible sacrifice that was involved in Jesus coming to save us, to save the world. It was a sacrifice like that of a father giving up his Son. And we come then to focus on the Son, sort of working backwards, as it were, through the passage, and we see that the Son too gives himself up for us out of love. And Jesus says of himself in verse 15, "The Son of Man must be lifted up." And reading those verses now, we know that that phrase is a reference to the crucifixion. The Son must be lifted up so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And Jesus here refers to a rather strange story of when the people of Israel were in the desert and they disobeyed, and God had sent snakes out amongst the people, really as a punishment. But then Moses had made a bronze snake, had lifted it up on a pole, and whoever looked at that snake was saved, their life was spared. And Jesus seems to be saying here that when he gives himself up in crucifixion, in being lifted up, he will take all the evil of the world on himself. And we remember that the snake in Old Testament and New Testament times was symbolic of evil. Jesus will take the whole evil of the world on himself, and everyone who looks to him, who believes in him, will similarly be saved, just as the people of Israel were in the desert. Saving the world starts with the love of God the Father, who gives up his Son. It continues with the Son giving himself up to be crucified, and with us believing in him. And then, as we've said, going in reverse order back through these verses, we see finally that new life is made possible by the Spirit. And really the Spirit is key in the opening verses of this passage, where We come across this man, Nicodemus, who comes to visit Jesus at night. It's a conversation that takes place, I guess, in secret. For whatever reason, Nicodemus didn't want everyone overhearing him talking to Jesus. He was clearly an important Jewish leader, perhaps a kind of lawmaker. He was clearly known as a teacher. But nevertheless, Jesus blows him away with his statement in verse 3. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. Or in some translations, without being born from above. And that this one Greek word can mean either. It could mean being born again or being born from above. It seems to be a deliberate play on words by Jesus. You know, on the one hand, just demonstrating that actually we need to be born with a birth that has its origins in heaven, in the heavenly places, but also that we need to be born again. We need to say goodbye, in some sense, to our past life and be born into a new kind of life. Jesus is playing on words here, but he helps define it a bit. A bit later in verse 8, he talks about being born of the Spirit. This is clearly a reference to the same thing. Or even in verse 5, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. And down the ages, many Christians have seen this as a reference to baptism, being born of water and the Spirit. But clearly, being saved, inheriting the kingdom of God, in Jesus' words, having eternal life, all of which, I believe, are different ways of saying the same thing. You know, Jesus is describing a completely new kind of life that we can have through him. All of this involves a new start in some way. And whether we're talking about being born from above, being born again, being born of water or the Spirit, Jesus is inviting Nicodemus, and Jesus continues to invite us into a new start, into a new kind of life. But I think the point for me, particularly with the inclusion of this word Spirit, is that being saved is not about my own effort. As we've seen, it originates with the love of God. It's made possible by the Son being lifted up on the cross, who we're invited to believe in. But key to it all is the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And in many ways, it's made equally possible by the Spirit. And I think what Jesus is challenging Nicodemus with, what Jesus is challenging us here today with, is, will you let God work in you as he pleases, just as the wind blows where it pleases in verse 8? And that word wind could also mean Spirit. Will you allow yourself to be born of the Spirit? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to accomplish a transforming work in you? And I think particularly for those of us who were perhaps baptized as children, you know, who may not remember it, may not even have video footage of it, can we allow ourselves here in 2021 to be blown along by the Spirit, to be born of the Spirit? Can we continue to allow the Holy Spirit to be the one that changes our lives from the inside out as we lift our eyes to the Son on the cross and believe in him, and as we accept the love of God the Father, as we allow the whole Trinity to carry out that work of saving in our lives, that work of saving that is offered to the whole world. Amen.